Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardas.
Purdue gets another chance for an upset Saturday when number 3 Michigan State comes to West Lafayette. Not only could the Boilermakers get bowl eligible, but they could derail the Spartan surprise quest for a Big Ten title and a spot in the college football playoff. It's a big game. I'm Kyle Chardas, Tom Deanhart here, Brian Dewart, and Alan Karpik as well for the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast. Tom, Purdue has been the underdog now in 3 straight Big Ten games, yet the Boilermakers are 2-1. They'll be the underdogs again on Saturday, but a narrow one. Michigan State favored by just 2.5 points.
Yeah, another great opportunity, right, to shock the world. Of course, at Iowa a few weeks ago, Boilers took down the number 2 Hawkeyes 24-7. And here come the bright and shiny Michigan State Spartans with the number 5 ranking and an 8-0 record. And they're kind of the talk of the nation, you know. They're among the top 4 in that first college football playoff rankings. Mel Tucker is probably going to be your Big Ten coach of the year. Done a great job just in his second year. And, they're thinking big here. So another opportunity for Purdue, not just to get bowl eligible, but, again, to make some national headlines and further cement, I guess, what Jeff Brom's trying to build here in West Lafayette.
Yeah, Michigan State number 5 in that AP ranking. As you said, in the top 4 in the first college football playoff rankings, number 3 there. It's a well-rounded team in those Spartans, though it does have the feel for it, you know, for a team that could be beaten. They have played teams close and found a way week in and week out, and that's the reason why they are 8-0. Now, I'm always of the opinion, Tom, that when teams win close games, they are more deserving of credit for winning the close games than they are being criticized for playing in close games, if that makes sense. So Michigan State has played these games, including the one against Michigan last week, in which it was down by, I think, 16 points late in that contest and came back to get the victory. They have found ways to win football games, and so that's going to be the challenge for Purdue on Saturday.
Yeah, well, resourceful. I agree with you. Michigan State was losing, I think it was 30-14 in the second half, Kyle, trailing by 16 points. And they came back to knock off their rival, the Michigan Wolverines. Yeah, give credit for the Spartans for finding a way each week. It's hard to do. Michigan State probably should have lost at home to Nebraska. Found a way to win that game. Didn't look that good playing Indiana a few weeks ago. Found a way to win that game. And we talked about the Michigan game, where they rallied to beat the unbeaten Wolverines. So credit to MSU, the offense, Kyle. Again, Kenneth Walker III, the transfer from Wake Forest, leads America in average rushing yards per game. He's special. Some think he's the leading contender for the Heisman Trophy as he enters the game Saturday. The quarterback, Peyton Thorne's been a revelation. 2 good receivers. Although one, Jalen Naylor, may be out with the hand injury, but Jaden Reed has been very good. So they got playmakers on offense. So that defense for Purdue, which has been so surprising, most definitely will have its hands full trying to contain that Spartan offense that has some explosive ability.
Yeah, the defense has found a good formula here over the last 3 weeks, though, Tom, with 3 turnovers. It got 4 picks a few weeks ago against Iowa, recovered a couple of fumbles against Wisconsin. And then 4 more interceptions against Nebraska in the victory last week. That was the one thing that had been missing from this defense, is its ability to turn teams over, get extra possessions for the offense. But here recently, they've been able to solve that problem.
Yeah, 2 takeaways in the first 5 games. You know, they had the ball on the ground early on in the year. They couldn't recover it. Now the last 3 games, the takeaway floodgates have, I guess, opened wide, Kyle. 10 takeaways the last 3 games, 4 picks against Iowa, the 2 fumble recoveries against the Badgers, 4 more picks against the Huskers. They're coming in droves. Kyle, they're scoring touchdowns too, buddy. Big George Karloftis with the scoop and score against the Badgers. And, of course, last week, how about number 6, Jalen Graham with the 45-yard pick 6. The defense is cashing in now, opportunistic. It's really carried the ball all year for this program. But you know what, Kyle? I think maybe now this offense with Xander Horvath back, We saw what it looks like when they sprinkle in Jackson ends up carrying the ball. I think this offense now could maybe hit its stride. And this last month of the season could be the best month yet for a Boiler offense. It showed a lot of balance in Lincoln, Nebraska, 41 rushes, 45 passes. Horvath's only going to get better, Kyle. You know what O'Connell can do with Bell and Durham and company. I look for this offense maybe to really, like I said, hit its stride and finish the season strong.
Yeah, it is interesting that we're talking about the offense getting better when it still only scored 21 points. Purdue, you know, put together a 28-point effort total with the one defensive TD. It needs to probably be a little bit better, take another step forward. Now, it would help if Purdue could hit field goals. Mitchell Finneran, it was so great early in the season, has had some problems here lately. So his two field goal misses take some points off the board for the offense. So Purdue's got to be better there and probably just be, you know, even a little bit better, maybe hit some bigger plays offensively. If it can do that, then, yeah, maybe you're right. This offense will start to click here over the last month of the season.
Yeah, if you can see me right now, I'm shaking my head, Kyle, with the kicking. Kicking's got a lot of people concerned. Right now, the misses have not hurt the Boilermakers, right? But you know it's probably only going to be a matter of time where maybe missed field goal does cost you, or missed PAT for that matter. Finneran started 9 for 9 on field goals. He's one of his last 5 with a missed PAT as well. So I don't think Purdue has many other options besides Finneran. I really don't think Ben Freehill's ready or they want to go to him. I think they want Finneran to try to work through this thing. So my advice to you and others is buckle your seatbelt. We'll see what happens. And yeah, you know, the offense, you're exactly right, buddy. The big play explosiveness just hasn't been there this year. I don't think it's probably ever going to be there. Although I do think, though, now with the ability to run the football, you know, defenses aren't going to be able to focus on stopping the pass, not letting Purdue throw the ball over the top of it. So that could open up some more big plays, I think, in the pass game. But you're right. You sure would like to see a little bit more big play explosiveness from this attack. Although last week, buddy, it was very impressive how they really played ball control with this short passing game and dominated time of possession, kept the ball away from the Huskers, and played mistake-free on it as well on offense too, which was huge.
We'll talk some more matchups between the Boilermakers and the Spartans a little bit later on in the podcast and get our predictions as well. Before all of that, though, coming up, Tom's conversation with Spartan Mag's Jim Comparoni, along with a game day forecast. That's next on the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast.
Happy Friday from News 18. I'm Storm Team 18 meteorologist David Seipel. The Boilermakers will be playing at home with a kickoff time at 3:30. Tailgaters, prepare for a chilly start. However, expect sunshine all day long. Temperatures between 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning will be in the mid to upper 30s. By noon, we will warm up to about 48 degrees. At kickoff, we'll have comfortable fall-like air in place. Temperatures will be expected to peak around kickoff in the mid-50s with a light southwest breeze, 5 to 10 miles per hour, and shouldn't be that impactful during the game. Nearing the end of the game, temperatures will fall back into the upper 40s with clear skies. Overall, fantastic weather is expected for some college football tomorrow.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
It's
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
All right, pleased to be joined by Jim Comparoni of SpartanMag.com. Jim is an expert on Michigan State. He's been covering the Spartans for years and going to drop some MSU knowledge on us with the 8-0, number 5 ranked Michigan State Spartans coming to Ross Ed Stadium Saturday. Jim, thanks for joining us, and let's start with the offense, my friend. Give our listeners and readers an idea of what type of offense to expect from Michigan State.
You know, pretty balanced, and it's going to be in a show, Tom. I've admired your work for a long time, and Golden Black is, I mean, one of the best sites covering any school, any athletic department in the country. Golden Black is outstanding. It's great to be on your podcast. And I've been reading your stuff since Sporting News days. I never told you this. I used to try to emulate your stuff back then. Before I ever met you, I thought you were outstanding. But yeah, I mean, you and I have become friendly over the years, but even way back then, I was like, man, this guy at Sporting News is pretty good. Anyway, hey, enough of that. You don't need that. You got enough of that. Michigan State football, you know, a balanced offense, and that's something that some of the opposing coaches talk about. And of course, that's what every team tries to achieve. But Michigan State's achieved that a little bit, and it's been surprising this year because last year Michigan State was among the worst in the country at yards per carry and just running offense. And they've got a well-respected offensive line coach, Chris Kapilovic. He's a good one, and they needed a little more time, you know, to get their strength conditioning program in, to get the guys knowing the system. They went out of the portal and brought in Kenneth Walker III, whom I'm sure a lot of your readers have probably heard about lately, because he's doing pretty well at Michigan State. Coming in from Wake Forest, was a pretty good running back at Wake Forest, shows it up at Michigan State, had a big day against Northwestern in the opener, and has just carried on, gotten into that Heisman race a little bit. Then he goes off and gets 5 touchdowns and about 197 yards rushing against Michigan in front of a lot of national media. So I think this week you'll see Kenneth Walker being mentioned up there, maybe at the top of the Heisman list. I don't know. But good balance with the ground game. A good quarterback, sophomore quarterback, Peyton Thorne, kid from Illinois. Naperville, Illinois, steady. You know, comes from a lineage of his dad was a coach. His dad's dad was a coach at a high level in the college ranks and high school ranks. High level of Division III, Division II. Good, solid arm. Makes his reads, good touch on the deep ball. He's had his moments where he's been a little inaccurate, like in the Nebraska game, took some shots in that Nebraska game, and his accuracy was not good in the second half of that game, and that's part of the reason they struggled in that game. And for your readers to know, Michigan State beat Nebraska despite not getting a first down in the second half of that game. Did not move the chains once in the second half. Dominated with a punt game, field position, got a punt return at a key moment. Red zone defense hung in there and stole that one. Nebraska was the better team that day. Michigan State came out victorious. So, offense has some balance. You know, 2 and 3 receivers, you know, a pistol team like everybody else is doing. They will go under center here and there. Not all teams do that these days, but Michigan State will do it a little bit. And, you know, crack some long runs against Michigan. The bye week served Michigan State well. Came out a little bit more physical on both sides of the ball. Had some new things in terms of blocking schemes that were run with more precision than their previous game 2 weeks ago at Indiana, when Michigan State could not get much going on the run game at all. So it's a team with some balance, but teams try to shut down that run first, as is commonplace in today's game. But Michigan State has got a quarterback that throws it pretty well, and he can move the pocket, throw on the run. He's a decent runner. He's not going to kill you with the legs, but he can get out of trouble and deliver it. Receivers, Jaden Reed, a very good one, transferred from Western Michigan in his second year. Excellent guy, was among the nation's leaders in all-purpose yardage there for about a month or so. And those numbers have come down a little bit, but he's good. They really rode him in the comeback victory over Michigan. Jalen Naylor's the other one that's had similar stats to Jaden Reed all year. He hurt his hand or his wrist or something in that Michigan game and missed the last quarter and a half. And I'm not sure, I've got my ears open on that one, but that one, especially for a receiver, a hand injury, Jalen Naylor, that one might not be out there for Michigan State this weekend. But that's what they have. They got some skill positions, skill talent, and pretty solid on offense this year.
What about the defense? Spartan Dogs look pretty good.
You know, here and there, and they've given up a lot of numbers in pass defense, which could be a difficult matchup against Purdue after watching what they did with Iowa. But a lot of the pass yardage they've given up, my thought was, is that a lot of it was somewhat by design, picking your poison. They gave up a lot of bend but don't break offense through the air against Miami early in the year. They were concerned about Miami's talent and explosiveness at wide receivers, so they've played a lot of soft coverages, soft zones. They were not really looking to pressure De'Aaron King. They didn't want to pressure him out of the pocket and pressure him into a play, so they wanted to keep him corralled. So they gave up a lot of yards that day, but only about 17 points. And that's the way they did for a while. Played Western Kentucky, a team that can really throw it all over the place. I haven't checked to see what they did this weekend, but Western Kentucky was a darn good football team. They played well against Indiana, and they threw for a lot of numbers against Michigan State, but Michigan State, again, kept the score reasonably down. You know, kept Indiana under 20 points, or about 15, I think it was, or 20-something. And so the defense has been pick your poison, has been a little bit bend but don't break in the pass defense, as they brought a couple of corners around, a couple of corner transfers. One's a transfer from Alabama, one's a transfer from University of Florida, another one's a transfer from Louisville. And those guys pretty much ran off a four-star guy from Detroit that transferred to Wisconsin last week, entered the portal after they were 4-0. He started last year, lost his job, transferred out. So these guys have some size. The one guy at Alabama, you know, he was a junior college guy. Saban recruited him. So if Saban's recruited a corner out of junior college, you know he's got all the measurables. Went down there, broke his arm, missed most of last year, played late in the season, had 1 year left, and wanted to go somewhere where he'd have a better chance to start. Went to Michigan State, struggled in the opener against Northwestern. He's been coming around. So although he's a guy with a good frame and all kinds of ability, he was still getting used to being a college football starter. Because like I said, he was a high school quarterback, junior college receiver, then a junior college corner, goes to Saban for 1 year, breaks his arm, goes to Michigan State, thrown on the field, right? So there's a learning curve with those guys. You got talent and guys that are learning. So the corners, I thought, were coming along, and they'd given up a lot of yardage. But yards per pass attempt has been a good stat for them. They were number 3 in the Big Ten in conference games in yards allowed per pass attempt. You look at their numbers, they're like number 110, or probably worse now, in pass defense, total yards allowed. Okay, let's just look at what they've done in the Big Ten lately. Let's look at yards per pass attempt, and those numbers were good. But then they played Michigan, and Michigan threw for about 400 on them. Now Michigan State morphed their defense a little bit as to what they want to take away. Against Michigan, they wanted to take the run away, loaded up the box a little bit. You know, Michigan State's a 5 defensive back team, so they have to outnumber you and try to swarm at you like a bunch of bumblebees. And they got some physicality too, but you know, they came up to stop the run, single safety deep, left a lot of windows open against Cade McNamara, quarterback from Michigan, who had trouble demonstrating that he could throw downfield. Well, he went out and demonstrated pretty well against Michigan State, like the best he has all year, made some throws that I didn't know that he hadn't demonstrated that he could. You know, he was making a read, throwing a dig over the middle for Michigan. So Michigan put up some big numbers through the air. What Michigan State did was they stopped the run in the red zone. Michigan's just been manhandling people with the run game. Tom, that game got down the wire. Michigan's down by 3, about 3 or 4 minutes to go. They're down to the 31-yard line. 3rd and 3 at the 31-yard line. Michigan's got the ball down 4. Wolverines, they need 7 points. 3rd and 3 at Michigan State's 31, 4 minutes to go. That sounds like Jim Harbaugh territory, right? They're going to smash 2 run plays at you. And if they don't pick it up on 3rd down, they'll pick it up on 4th and 1, right? 3rd and 3, they threw deep into the end zone. That's what Michigan was relegated to doing because they'd given up on running the ball, which shocked me. Threw into the end zone, the guy was open, they got the matchup they wanted, they went against number 15 Gross in the slot, got a step on him, making the quarterback beat you. Quarterback didn't beat him, he overthrew that one. Came down 4th and 3, a little rub route over the middle, could have been pass interference, incomplete. And, you know, they get a stop, get the ball back, but at that point, you know, they're desperation, they throw an interception. Couldn't run the ball at that point. But for Michigan to just surrender and say, we're not running the ball anymore, I did not see that coming. I thought that was a key to win the game. And Michigan State stopped the run against Michigan, but gave up a lot of numbers through the air. But that was the poison they picked on that particular day. So it's a team that cannot beat you in defense everywhere. They just kind of have to move the pegs around the pegboard and try to take away what they think you're good at.
Well, that'll be a good game, Jim. Everybody's looking forward to Michigan State coming here. It's been a while, and we look forward to seeing you. And thanks very much for giving us some insight on the Spartans.
It's going to be a good one, a fun one. I mean, Michigan State versus Purdue is going to be a big game this weekend, and that's great for the Big Ten. That's great for both programs.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue alumni visa. not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring in Brian Newbert to get his perspective on the Boilermakers and the Spartans. Brian, this will be the fourth consecutive week in which Purdue is the underdog. Now, I do find it a little bit interesting that Michigan State is favored in this game by less than what Wisconsin was favored in this game a couple of weeks ago. I guess that tells us a little bit about what Vegas and the public still feels about Michigan State. But another opportunity here on Saturday for Purdue to get an upset victory. And, you know, for the most part, the Boilermakers have been pretty good in that role.
Yeah, you know, speaking to the money line, I guess, maybe not the money line, but the spread. Sorry, those are two different things. I kind of wonder if, you know, people aren't looking at Purdue as being the best version of itself. You know, Purdue grabbed a lot of attention by routing Iowa. They just grabbed a lot of attention by winning at Nebraska, which I think probably got a little bit of outsized attention because of what it might mean for Scott Frost. I think there might be also a little bit of, you know, the letdown factor being considered on Michigan State's part after, you know, their big rivalry game, a pretty emotional game. And perhaps there might even still be a little bit of skepticism toward Michigan State, because prior to Michigan, you know, they hadn't really beaten anybody of any noteworthiness. And perhaps that's the combination of all that stuff is still shaping perception about this game. But, you know, Purdue hasn't won on its home field in games like this. They have won on the road. So maybe this is sort of not where you want this game based on that. I think that has everything to do with the opponents. But I do think Michigan State's very beatable. I do think, you know, there's probably been a certain element of smoke and mirrors they've been doing this with. They've probably playing over their heads a little bit. I know they're playing a little bit better than I think anybody realistically expected. And you always wonder if a team like that is overachieving. But yeah, this is a great opportunity for Purdue again to do what they've done so often, and that's take down a top five team and really put themselves in a good position here after they, you know, got to within striking distance again of that. I don't want to say magical, because I don't consider it magical anymore, that six win mark here. If you get this one, you know, you've still got a couple very winnable games left on the schedule, and, you know, all of a sudden anybody holding them to that six win standard can start to realistically look at something much more than that.
Yeah, should Purdue fans wear green and boo on Saturday to create a road atmosphere for Purdue, or is too much being made of that the fact that Purdue has played and won a couple of games on the road?
I think it just has everything to do with the opponents. It's really only been a kind of a four-game phenomena where, you know, Purdue lost at home to Minnesota, Purdue lost at home to Wisconsin, but Purdue beat Iowa and Purdue beat Nebraska at home. I think Purdue has always matched up very well with Iowa. Purdue obviously has matched up okay against Nebraska, coupled with the fact that as a program, Nebraska still can't get out of its own way. But I also think that those two games were defined by the opponent's rash of turnovers. And, you know, that's always a game changer in any football game you play in. And I don't think, you know, there's anything about playing on the road that, you know, necessarily served as causation for Purdue forcing a bunch of turnovers or the home team committing a bunch of them. I don't want to call it a fluke because I think Purdue's style of defense is much more in line with forcing turnovers than it used to be. Things are normalizing a little bit after Purdue didn't get very many of them early in the season. But I think, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin play a very physical style of football. And I think that was probably something Purdue didn't match up as well against as they did against Nebraska and Iowa. Not that Iowa is not a physical football team, but I think, you know, Purdue's always had the ability to have some offensive success against Iowa as well. So I think it's just kind of a coincidence. I think it's just a matter of how the schedule has played out, that Purdue has been able to win away from Ross-Ade Stadium, but not win in Ross-Ade Stadium. and the more games that go on, I think that will probably balance out a little bit. But it is strange. It is not what you expect because, you know, teams are supposed to be better at home than they are on the road, and that's not really been the case for Purdue.
Maybe the Boilermakers are due. We'll find out on Saturday. Thanks, Brent.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more. This is the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's hit the Big Ten Roundup and bring in Alan Karpik to talk five games in the Big Ten, aside from the one that we will be watching the most closely in Ross-Ade Stadium. This is an iffy slate. I think the only game that's a single-digit spread is Purdue and Michigan State. All the rest are double-digit and potentially uglier than that. At noon on Saturday, number 5, Ohio State travels to Nebraska. Al, the Buckeyes are favored by 15, which I guess is respectful for Nebraska's ability to lose by single digits, I suppose, because you would think that number might be a little bit bigger. But, man, the Cornhuskers just are down to it here, 3-6. They've got to win out. That seems almost impossible for Nebraska to do.
Well, and Ohio State's defense is not great. That gives Nebraska some hope. That early start, you wonder that, you know, they're going to have their, 381st sellout in a row, but will fans be there for an 11 o'clock start at Nebraska? They probably will. Yeah, I just don't – there's nothing I like about Nebraska's offense, at least what we saw last week and the way Adrian Martinez played. He has struggled against Ohio State as well. It's always kind of a big game because that was a team that didn't offer him that he thought went in the recruiting process, as I recall. So I just think Ohio State's got too much offense. It may be – there may be some points put up on the board, but I think C.J. Stroud and company are hitting stride. Ohio State's got a great running game, and Purdue needs to hope that they get softened up somehow for when the Boilermakers head to Columbus on November the 13th.
Illinois travels to play number 20, Minnesota. The Gophers favored in this one by 14.5 points. Minnesota dumped a bunch of sports programs during the pandemic and then signed its football coach to a big contract extension that gave him more money. That doesn't make any sense to me, but it's what it did. So the Gophers, the Gophers are good, I guess. They just find a way to win, except with Bowling Green.
Yeah, I guess, if they don't, they had a lot of turnovers against Bowling Green, kind of gave them a chance to win the football game. This game is similar because Illinois is just, Illinois is, you have to be respect them. They went to Penn State and won.
Yeah.
Because they were the least worse of the two teams on 2-point conversions. But I don't know. I think Minnesota is going to continue to limp its way through. And it looks to me like Wisconsin and Minnesota on the last day of the year might determine the West Division championship. And that, I just don't think Minnesota is that good, but I don't think they're that bad. And they'll get by Illinois in probably a relatively ugly football game.
Perfect description of Minnesota. They're not that good. They're not that bad.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
pretty much says it all. 3:30 kick. I guess this is an intriguing game. Penn State at Maryland. The Nittany Lions are favored by 10. What happened with Penn State? I mean, is it just the James Franklin distractions? Were they just not that good? Did injuries catch up with the Nittany Lions? Because, man, they have plateaued, to say the least. And, Maryland could get an upset victory at home here.
It would be an upset, obviously. I don't know on Maryland. Penn State, if you take the Illinois game out, and you can't do that, but if you somehow did, you'd feel better about Penn State, I guess. I think Penn State just got too many players or too good defensively. And Maryland, sometimes when they get in these kind of games, they get absolutely destroyed for some strange reason. So I like Penn State to get refocused, work its way to a New Year's Day, not New Year's Day 6, but a New Year's Day type bowl, though I guess they may be heading to New York the way things are going right now in the Pinstripe Bowl. But I think they get through this game at Maryland.
Number 21, Wisconsin's playing at Rutgers at 3:30 on Saturday. Wisconsin favored by about a couple of touchdowns. The Badgers are pretty good. I mean, the defense is really good, and it's been good enough to carry what is a pretty mediocre team offensively. But Wisconsin's, I think we just undervalued Wisconsin for most of the season, and people are starting to pay attention to that defense for real now.
Well, and I think when you lose to Penn State in the way they did, and especially the Notre Dame game, which was a wide score, but Notre Dame, they were ahead, I believe Wisconsin was in the fourth quarter, and Notre Dame scores 31 points and beats them, and all of a sudden you start to think they're not any good. They do struggle a little bit offensively. They can't throw the ball downfield. Rutgers has played well defensively on occasion, a couple of occasions. It could be close, but I just think Wisconsin's got too much power running the football and too good a defense to let this one go.
7:30 kickoff on Saturday night in prime time up there in the Big House. Number 7, Michigan hosts Indiana. Michigan is favored by 20. Has a little bit of revenge on its mind from losing to Indiana last year. The Hoosiers were, to Indiana's credit, Donovan McCauley was better last week.
Yeah.
Gave that offense a little bit of juice, which had been missing for most of the season, like 95% of the season. But that's probably not going to be enough to get a road victory against a Michigan team that'll be hungry for a win.
Right. And Michigan strangely still controls its destiny. I mean, it can win that division if Michigan State's going to have to lose twice, but that could easily happen for the Spartans, including Saturday's game at Purdue. And if Michigan can just win out, I mean, I know that the Wolverines have got to go to Penn State and they obviously play Ohio State. But my point is, if they can get over what happened to them at Michigan State and when they blew a 30-14 lead and just get refocused, which has been a challenge under Jim Harbaugh sometimes, but if it does that, I think they will this weekend, and they still have a lot to play for.
Yeah. That's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karthik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical view at Purdue and Michigan State. We'll focus on one game in this series in particular. I remember it well. I was a student and sitting in the stands. 1999, number 5, Michigan State comes into West Lafayette, and Joe Tiller's squad sort of smoked them. What a day for Chris Daniels. That was an impressive win, to say the least, for Purdue.
21 catches, was it 301 yards? And you think about that game. Purdue wins, beats the number five team, Michigan State. So there's a similarity there. Of course, the big difference is number 15, Drew Brees, was quarterbacking for Purdue. But Brees threw 4 picks, 2 pick sixes, and still Purdue beats the number 5 ranked team by 24 points. That's unreal. And Chris Daniels, again, unreal. If you were sitting in the stands that game, you had to weather a big rain shower for about 20 minutes. I remember that. And Nick Saban being very frustrated at the end of the game as Purdue. David Nugent scores late in the game on a scoop and score, and Purdue wins that game relatively easy in a 52-28. But a very strange game just in terms of Brees throwing for over 500 yards, 509 yards, but 4 picks, but completed 40 passes in a very impressive Purdue win.
I was a student in the stands, Al. I don't remember much.
Yeah, I know. You're numb. That's right.
So. I do remember Purdue getting the victory. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Kyle.
That's Alan Karpik with a historical view of Purdue and Michigan State. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Gold Black Radio pregame podcast. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
All right, Tom, let's talk some matchups between the Boilermakers and the Spartans. There's one matchup that matters more than all the others, right? I mean, Purdue's got to find a way not to stop, but to slow down, prevent the big play from the running back, Kenneth Walker Jr., Kenneth Walker III, that is, who has been, you know, really good, averaging 150 yards per game. As you said earlier, probably a Heisman front runner. I mean, he's been excellent, and it's really been the reason why Michigan State's offense has been able to click the way it has.
Yeah, last week against the Mighty Wolverines, Kyle, 197 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. So you're right, what a revelation he's been. Right out of the gate, he burned Northwestern for over 200 yards. Ran for over 200 two times this year, and again, almost made it last week. So he's going to be the focal point, of course. We talked to the defensive players about him this week, the staff. They all know what they have to do. They have to contain him, not give him the edge, keep him between the tackles, and, of course, limit those big plays. And they want to make Peyton Thorne try to throw the football. And I know Thorne's done good this year throwing the ball, but still, anything, I don't care what offense you're in, Kyle. If you're in those third and longs, you got to throw it, and defense knows you're going to throw it. You have a chance to get pressure, sacks, big plays, and interceptions. So that's the hope of this defense. And, again, the challenge of Kenneth Walker's big, Kyle. I did some research. You know, the last few times Purdue's played, the guy who went on to win the Heisman, you have to go back to the last one was Ron Dane in 1999. They played Eddie George in 95, Desmond Howard in 91. Go back further to Tim Brown in 1987. So it doesn't happen too often where Purdue plays a guy who goes on to win the Heisman. Maybe Kenneth Walker does, but maybe Purdue can derail Kenneth Walker's Heisman hopes on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, the formula has been pretty good for Purdue in its victories in that it has been able to get control of the game in the third quarter, force the game into the quarterback's hands, and when it has done that, it has had a lot of success. It was not able to do that against Wisconsin. Graham Mertz threw a whopping two passes, no completions in the second half of the Badgers' win in Ross-Ade Stadium. But if you look at the Iowa and Nebraska games, that's the scenario that Purdue has used. I mean, it's a tried and true recipe in football for a win, and that's really what it needs to be able to do on Saturday.
See, you know what killed them against the Badgers were all the turnovers. I think they had five turnovers. They kept throwing that defense back out on the field, Kyle.
Yeah.
It was a 13-13 game at halftime. That defense finally wore down, and the Badgers are so physical. Plus, I think recent history has shown us that Badger defense is pretty darn good. I think it's number one in the country right now statistically. But I digress. You're right. The matchup, we talked about Kenneth Walker. Now, Kyle, the Michigan State defense, it's not a steel curtain, buddy.
Yeah.
Giving up a lot of passing yards, and I think you can punch some holes in it. So, again, Purdue, if they can avoid their own turnovers and get some balance, I think they have a chance to score some points, buddy. Maybe even eclipse the 30-point mark. It's been a while. You know, they had 49 against UConn. I think they scored 30 on the nose against Oregon State, but they haven't reached 30 again since going out to Connecticut in early September. So it's a defense from Michigan State. Like I said, I think it's solid. It's not great, and there's a chance for Purdue to have some success.
Yeah, I think they're dead last in passing defense.
Yeah, 300 yards a game.
Yeah, I mean, so – and some of that is that they've been ahead. Teams have had to throw against them.
Yeah.
Numbers don't always tell the exact truth, especially on passing yardage, I think. But there is probably some room for Aiden O'Connell and David Bell and the rest to pick up some yardage against Michigan State. All right, prediction time. What do you think?
You know what, Kyle? I was the only one of our tribe to pick Purdue last week. I got to boast about that, right?
Well, I have to say that I don't know when the last time I was right.
I'm just kidding.
It probably was Illinois, I guess. I mean, it's a tough team to figure out.
It is. I'm usually wrong, buddy. I'm going Boilermakers again. How about that? How about that for bowl? I'm going Purdue 30, Michigan State 29, and we're going to see a field rush. How about that?
Wow, there you go.
David Bell, Kyle, can David Bell not have 100-yard receiving for a third game in a row? I think he's going to break out. Like I said, that offense has got some balance to keep Michigan State's defense off its game. And I think it's going to be a fun game that comes down in the fourth quarter.
I have no idea, man. like I said, I've been wrong every week here, it feels like. And, you know, I'm going to pick Michigan State. I do feel like I could be wrong again in picking the Spartans. You know, before last week, I thought that Purdue probably had a better chance to beat Michigan State at home than it had to go on the road and beat Nebraska, because I felt like the Cornhuskers were on the verge and they had played so many games close that coming back home, this was really Nebraska's last gasp to salvage the season, and maybe in some ways last gasp for Scott Frost. And so I thought that would be a challenging game, and it was, but Purdue was able to get the win. And I thought that coming back home against Michigan State, a team maybe that's a little bit inflated, especially after a win against a rival, Purdue might have a little bit of an edge there.
Yep.
And I still feel that that might be the case, but, man, Michigan State has found a way to win some of these games, and you just fear that Kenneth Walker will get loose for a big play. You know, a big gainer, 40 yards, touchdown, something in the second half that gives Michigan State just a little bit of a bump. I'll take the Spartans 27-24, but, man, I don't know. I think it'll be a close game and one that Purdue could win.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Like you said, I think Michigan State could have a letdown here, like you said, coming off the big emotional win. walking a tightrope in some of these games. I just think maybe they fall off the tightrope this week. And again, the emotion of last week, they're not able to recover. Here's Purdue, white hot again, with a lot of momentum in the home crowd. I think that cocktail is what's going to lead Purdue to this upset win.
Well, you got Michigan State with 29 points. What do you got in there? You got a safety in there? What do you got? How do you get to 29?
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. You know? like I said, it's going to be fun. How about a block extra point?
There you go. Maybe that'll do it. Hey, Tom, appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. And for Tom Deanhart, Alan Karpik, and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.